B-Pod Studios.
Ah, look at this is how you start a day. You show up to work, you desanitize your area, and then someone gives you chicken in a biscuit. Boom! Look at that on Twitch, people. That's how you start a day, Bobby. That's
can't
how you
beat
start
it.
A day. No, that's just beautiful. Now, in case you didn't hear us do this a couple of weeks ago, was it last week? Yeah, Twitch Ryan, aka DJ Bon Bon, had been snacking on the chicken biscuit things here. These dem here Johns.
It got them all swolled up, too.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan hit double puberty.
I'm looking at the protein. It says 2 grams. That's a lie. It's like 28 grams of protein. I have no doubt whatsoever. But he comes in with the chicken and the biscuit things. Ryan, get in here, man. Let's talk about this for a second, because these are absolutely delicious. And you just presented us with some fine boxes of chicken. I didn't realize it was chicken in a biscuit. Now, your mom was kind enough to present these to you to give to us?
Yep. Need the mic
we
on.
Got that. We got to put that up.
There we go. You're
I sprung it on you. I apologize. So how did these become a snack favorite of the DJ Bon Bon household?
So I started eating those back at family parties when I was a kid. So it wasn't even...
A couple years ago. Yeah.
You would think. I look 12. I do look 12.
Yeah, he's actually 48. Yeah. He aged 17 years when we were... So I'm going to crack these open because I haven't... per usual, I don't eat breakfast. I usually has my...
Didn't partake last week when we were doing the taste testing, did you?
Okay. Bob, am I going to pass up food? And they're very difficult to open. That's
only
part of,
you're on a health kick.
That's part of the treat.
Yeah, right. You can eat somebody else's chicken and a biscuit, but you can't eat...
These are the chicken and the biscuit that my family had in the old country, so it's totally fine. Yeah. All right, here we go.
They are, and the aftertaste is what gets you. The cracker, and then you wait, and it's like, ooh, that is really good.
The aftertaste of these Johns, all right, is like you just got done eating a bucket of chicken. Like, that's the only thing I can liken it to.
Yeah.
But guess what? You didn't eat a bucket of chicken. You only had the 2 grams of protein, 7 serving size per container. I can do that.
Yeah.
These are just delicious. What's your mom's name?
Debbie.
And Debbie said, hey, Ryan, love, hey, bring these in. That's what happened?
Essentially. Ran out
came
to the
in with what,
store.
6 boxes today? Five boxes? Yeah. So we all got a box.
I'm going to make you guys some chicken cutlets. I'm going to give you those. You can take those home. How about
love
that?
It.
That's
love
amazing.
It.
Ryan Bonacquesi, thank you so much, man. These are delicious.
Thank you.
And thank Debbie for me. Deb.
Yes.
Definitely. People call her Deb.
Love you, Deb. Yeah.
Deb's the best. That's awesome, man. I appreciate that. And, I'm going to fight every urge to not eat every one of these. As the day goes on today, as a matter of fact. So, good morning, everybody. My name's Mark. We got Bob Cooney. We got Jamie Lynch. We got Ryan Bonacquesi and Deb helping us out. We got Pat Egan running around having himself a good old time. And I'm glad we're starting off on such a positive note today and such happiness and happy thoughts and all that. Because that Brett Brown fella, oh man, he's just great. He just, oh man.
Unicorns and rainbows.
Oh my God. Ice cream, puppy dogs.
Uh-huh.
Everything was right. And look, I say that with some sarcasm, but everything Brett Brown talked about yesterday on a Zoom call was like, hey, come on over. Everybody come in and have a hug. We're going to have a great time in Camp Orlando. We're going to do our thing and play the basketball. And Ben Simmons is good to go. Good to go, Ben Simmons. I hope so. I would hope so. He hasn't had to play in like really 4 months since the back injury. He was throwing the ball, the basketball in the hoop and stuff with the slam dunks and the bounce passes to himself and slamming it down and all that stuff. So I would hope he's healthy. All right, that's good. Yeah, cool. Joel Embiid, we were worried about his being in shape and whatnot. Best shape of his life. No problems with Joel Embiid because, to quote Brett Brown, Bob, nobody has put in work during this layoff like Joel Embiid. Nobody has put in more work during this layoff than Joel Embiid.
Look, I'm not going to kid anybody. I think I've heard this before.
You think?
Yeah, like in a few years. But there was one line that Brett said that really stuck out to me that made me think this time it's for real, real. And that's when he said, you know, he's put in work. He needed to. I think to me, knowing Brett Brown the way that I do, I think the translation of that is they had a talk with him and he got it this time. Yeah, honestly, and it could be reading too deep into it, but it stuck. As soon as I heard it, it stuck with me right from the beginning. Like, wow, okay. Maybe there's been that transition to maturation that Joel Embiid had said, you know what, you guys are right, and I will. And from what Brett said yesterday, it looks like he maybe has.
I am on the record saying I feel that this team does need a different voice. However, I do respect Brett Brown. I do like Brett Brown. I don't believe you. I don't believe Brett Brown.
You go right there, huh?
I am at a point now with this Sixers team, and I am now having all these feelings rush back to me and all these thoughts rush back to me that were there very much so on March 11th, and it was how I felt about this team, and now it's just all coming back. I never lost them. They were just kind of lying dormant for a while.
Yeah.
And pretty much anything that gets said about this Sixers team, I don't believe you. I don't believe in any real optimistic viewpoint that this team has changed their mindset. And Joel Embiid has changed his mindset. The one thing I do believe is that Ben Simmons is healthy. All right, cool. He should be healthy. And I'm glad that they said that. They acknowledged it. He should be good to go, as Brett Brown said. But when it comes to really a change of mindset, especially with a guy like Joel Embiid, not buying it. Because anytime you talk about, oh, he's in great shape, that is only talking about the potential that he'll have while he's actually playing basketball games. And that I won't believe in until I actually see it happen.
Fair enough. Very fair. And, you know, him being in the great shape that Brett Brown talked about yesterday might not be the basketball shape that we're all looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, as we all know, and professional athletes know better than anybody, you can work out as much as you want. You can do as much as you want until you're running up and down the floor for, say, 20 straight minutes with limited stoppage here and there. You just don't know. And as I said before, there's been limited times, very few times, when I've been around Joel Embiid and looked at him after a long time away and said, oh, look how fat he is. That's never been a case.
Right.
It hasn't been a case where he comes in, you're like, wow, he doesn't look good. He looks soft, pudgy. No, it's been a case where, oh, he looks good. Looks like he put on some weight, but he's bigger. That's the, you know, the maturity of him. But once he starts running up and down the floor, then you're like, oh, my God, dude, get your hands off your knees. Stand up. Run. So we'll have to see what that's like in the first few times we see him.
Yeah, and again, this is where I hope I'm wrong. But I think most people listen to Brett talk about how great a shape Joel Embiid's in, and they go, okay, no, I don't believe it. I'll have to see it. I think most people, if we made that our Twitter poll today, do you buy what Brett Brown's selling about Joel Embiid being in shape? I think the majority of people would be like, nope. And I think those should be the options. Yes or nope. Those should be the options for our Twitter poll today. And I thought about this, and as I'm listening to the Zoom call yesterday, I'm thinking, all this sounds great. Brett Brown hit all the right notes yesterday. If he was a singer, man, every note was gone. If he was on karaoke and the ball was bouncing across the lyrics, he was on every single syllable, right? I just don't believe it. Because I believe so many times this team has proven to be fool's gold. In the start of the season, I had great expectations for this team. I thought that they were going to play that bully ball that they started out the season playing and then completely got away from it. I thought that was the version of the Sixers that, first off, Elton Brand built, and then also that Brett Brown was going to coach. And also, it was just the personnel that they had. That lended itself to play bully ball. And we saw it for maybe, it felt like a week and a half. And that turned out to be fool's gold. And they have not met our expectations going into the season. And for me, I'm with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think this could be one of the hardest championships to win, especially with some new quote-unquote injury that could take you out of the lineup called coronavirus. All of a sudden, this could be going around and you could be losing guys left and right. That's going to be a pretty hard championship to win if that's in fact what does happen.
Yeah, you're playing 8 games in 12, 13 days, whatever it may be. You're playing every other day, and then you have back-to-back one time if you're the Sixers, and then you play 2 nights later. So you're compacting a lot of games into a very short amount of time. So you're right, Mark. Injuries are going to happen. Hamstrings, ankles, you only have 3 weeks to prepare. You know, Joel Embiid load management, can you throw that out the window when you're playing this many games in such a short amount of time? I don't think there's any way he's going to play all 8 games. Mm-hmm. And you're right on the Brett Brown front. Look, here's a guy that could sell you a sure house in the middle of, like, Montana or something, or in the middle of the country somewhere, Kansas. But that's who he is. That's why they brought him in, because he needed to sell this. He needed to get a culture on this organization. He needed to go through those seasons but still have players wanting to play. That's it's his best attribute. He could get guys that were losing 26 games in a row and get into a gym and play their asses off at 8 o'clock the next morning. That's the greatest attribute that Brett Brown probably has as a coach. Now it's time for the X's and O's. Well, the X's and O's come easier when a Joel Embiid is totally healthy in the best shape of his life, when Ben Simmons is playing the way he is. I thought a great thing he hit on yesterday, and then, Mark, you're going to hit on this. What's going to happen with the Al Horford, Joel Embiid thing? And I thought what he said on that, to me, was kind of very eye-opening. Wow, you paid this much for a guy who's going to play backup.
Yeah, and I thought that was to be expected. I mean, I didn't expect that to be an about-face. That was more or less the direction they were going when the season ended.
Yes, him not starting, correct.
Yeah.
But his line of Team Joel right. and Team Al, that what does that reek of? They can't play together.
Well, yes, it absolutely does.
Yeah.
It also makes you think of another line change, which Brett Brown has been known to do. So I don't want to see that happen. It might be what it comes down to, and he certainly hinted at that, to say the least, yesterday. So we got plenty to discuss about Brett Brown and everything that he had to say yesterday. I just find myself in a state with the Sixers. I find myself in a state of, I got to see it. Because, and this is a rarity for anybody who's got to, you know, talk about what other people are talking about, like Brett Brown, for instance, and the questions he was asked yesterday and the way he answered them. I don't care anymore. This team has such great potential. We know how much potential they have. Talking about it is only talking about the potential. I need to see it. It's like being you're a parent or you're a teacher or whatever, and a kid keeps acting the way you know he's not supposed to be acting. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Like, don't stop telling me. Like, just show me. That's the way I feel right now watching the Sixers.
Well, what was the line that Jim Schwartz had on Nigel Bradham? When you keep doing, what is it, dumbass things, pretty soon you're labeled a dumbass? You know, yeah. Like, that's pretty good. Potential, I said to you last week, there was a word that I stamped in my book. I said, oh, my God, is this team starting to get labeled as the potential team?
Yeah.
Because to me, people that get labeled players, whatever, potential, never reach it.
If we're talking about Wendy's comments from last week,
yes,
that's definitely on par for that. Let's be optimistic a little bit here for a second. All right, let's go.
Oh, down. Wait, don't put me in. I am optimistic. Brett had me feeling good yesterday. I'm pumped for the return of the Sixers, as I know you are. I'm not saying you're not.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't know. I read something into it that made me think that he thinks there's been a little bit of a light switch turned on.
See, here's what I haven't experienced in a while. I haven't realized the charm of Brett Brown. And he's a charming individual.
Yeah, and look, people don't think that he won me over because of the way he talked to us. I've been around him 8 million times. I've spoken with him. I just think there was a little something more there yesterday that makes me think, oh, maybe something happened here.
He's a charming individual.
No question.
I found myself.
Nobody dislikes Brett Brown if you take away the coaching.
Right. That's why everybody apologizes when they say they want to fire him. Right.
He's such a nice guy.
I can't.
I'm sorry, but you have to fire Brett Brown.
I'm sorry, but can I fire him?
Yeah.
He's talking, and I'm listening, and I'm like, hey, man, everything's great. And then I'm like, no, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't get suckered in here. You got to see it. You got to see it on the court. They got to prove it to you that they're going to at least attempt everything to reach their full potential. So we'll discuss that as the show goes on. But here's where I am a little optimistic, all right? I'm a little optimistic after talking to Adam Kaplan yesterday, because I was concerned about Zach Ertz wanting as much, if not more, than George Kittle, which I believe we all looked at each other and went, well, that'd be crazy if he was going to let George Kittle set the market and then go, oh, well, I'm going to get more than that guy. But talking to Adam Kaplan yesterday, the way he explained it was that Zach Ertz, a guy who I want to stick around here in Philadelphia for, you know, a couple more years at least, is smart enough to realize he ain't gonna make that money. But he's also a smart enough businessman to realize, let me let him set the market, because I know I'm not going to get what he's getting anyway, but at least I know the number I can get around that. He's not saying he's going to get George Kittle money. He's going to allow him to set the market and then say, all right, I can get something close to that, but still less. He doesn't have crazy expectations about what his contract is going to be.
Kittle got $60 million guaranteed. I can ask for 55.
Yeah, something
like that.
That's a smart business move.
As opposed to the Eagles offering them 40 guaranteed.
Yeah, right, exactly. Low, be like, well,
we're just smart.
It's smart on both their sides.
It is.
Sure.
And it's very rarely do we listen to Howie Roseman make a mistake when it comes to the financial aspect of somebody's contract. So that's a good thing. It made me feel better. But then again, it also, this is something else that raised my eyebrows. Adam Kaplan just told us yesterday, flat out, yeah, he's hearing that the NFL is going to move to two preseason games.
I expect maybe none.
Well, they did. They moved to two preseason games.
Yeah.
They took off the first week of the preseason, and they took off the last week of the preseason.
Yeah, I guess that gives it kind of a two-week buffer period side.
No, so what they did was they negated those games, but they put... What game are they keeping? The first and the third?
Second
or whatever?
And third.
Second and third. And two games.
Yeah, but they're moving them back and putting them close together, right?
Closer together, yeah.
Right. So it's late August that they won't get started until.
Yeah, August.
And each team does get a home game, which is what we talked about.
Like, no, I just meant that they'll have the two-week buffer before the start of the season.
Oh, my fault, guys get sick.
Yeah. From the third game to the start of the season, you got 2 weeks now, mm-hmm. at least, if not two and a half. So
Smart move, right?
Yeah, if somebody were to get sick, you buy yourself more time.
Mm-hmm. First off, Bob, kudos to you, because this is what you had this pegged from the get-go, that this is the direction they were going to go, that they needed to have, each team needed to have a home game and an away game, yeah. so they could go through the new protocol to keep everybody as safe as possible.
And soon it'll be no games for either.
You don't think there'll be a preseason at all?
No. Nah.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I think they really want to have at least two preseason games.
Oh, sure, because you get to charge people potentially for season tickets.
Yes, no doubt. However, it's also a smart thing to do. If you're going to have a season, it's a good thing to have at least one dress rehearsal where you might not have that many people at the game anyway.
But the problem is you can't go to one because of what you guys were just talking about, the home and home. Mm. And it's not fair to half the league because they're not getting potentially a gate out of it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. So two's as low as they can go if they don't go to zero.
But wouldn't you want them to have two preseason games?
Yeah, I would in an ideal situation.
And I'm not even talking about watching or tryouts. I'm just saying, look, you got to figure this out.
Yeah.
God forbid you go into a season, first game, boom, and you get something unexpected. Mm-hmm. You don't want that to happen. And another friend of mine who's a season ticket holder sent me something saying there's rumors around, I don't know if he got something or if he's anticipating getting something, that his 8-game plan, which is, all home games, is cut down to 4.
Oh, wow.
Meaning they're going to have half the fans. Their anticipation is, and again, this is a rumor, anticipation is you get your season ticket holder, you get 4 games. So if you and I have season tickets, Mark, maybe you go to 4 games and I go to 4 different games. That way they're, making sure that they don't have a full stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else we got to look out for, what their plan might be on that.
Okay. Definitely something to follow. And look, here I'm getting hit up already. Marketing pro Walt hit me up here on Twitter saying, old feelings already coming up about the Sixers. Believe in Brett. Wait for them to play to make the evaluation. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm just not doing the believe in thing. I wait. the wait till they play to the evaluate. Yep, that's what I'm doing. The believing? Nah, not so much just yet. I'm going to wait till they play. We also have to have, a moment of silence at some point today for the famed Eagles Jets preseason game. So that's.
Yeah, that was always a good one.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Rashad Bailey, I believe, was the star of that one. The Paul Turners of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Chase Daniel.
He showed a lot of nothing.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. We're gonna have to really go back and recall some of our favorite memories of all that.
I think we just hit them all.
We had Jalen Reagor to post something on Twitter last night. And Instagram. Definitely looks jacked. And I think he speaks for all of us when he just said, go away, Rona. And I'm like, we're on the same page right there.
I think that could be something we universally all agree on for once.
We should put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Rona, just go away. We got that. I'll be honest, Bob. I was a little, it moved. It moved a little. It moved a little.
You saw your mom on the toilet again? Your mother-in-law, I mean?
Oh, jeez,
Bob.
Oh,
my God, Bob. What?
You're sick. Too early for that.
You have to include in-law. Mother-in-law.
Yeah, my fault. God. I've only had 3 sips
of
coffee.
Can we dump that? It came out, and I was, Mark!
Yeah.
Oh, I took a whole new level.
Bob got a start.
Manga's big, right?
What the hell? Bob got a start.
All right, so go ahead. It moved a little.
It moved a little bit yesterday. It moved a little bit yesterday.
Where were you, may I ask?
I was on my sofa.
Okay.
And I put the TV on, and I was scrolling. I don't know why I put the TV on when I'm just going to sit on the sofa and scroll anyway, but whatever. And I'm scrolling, and I see this guy named Bryce Harper, I believe is how they say it. I don't remember. I've watched baseball in a while. And
nice man bun.
Taking batting practice. See him in third base, taking some grounders, right? And just getting the arm loose and taking some fielding practice. And he's got JT Real Muto.
That was awesome.
Jersey on. And I was like, great flex there, Bryce. And then it moved again when I saw Rhys Hoskins. I don't know why this makes. I don't know why this is awesome, but he had a great stash, man.
Dude,
great stash.
I kid you not. I stared at the picture because the first one I saw it didn't have a name attached to it, and I'm like, who the hell is this? And I'm like trying to look real deep, and I'm like, that's not Rhys, is it? And then I scrolled through and saw it was him.
I saw that
pretty
mustache,
cool.
And I
went, Schmitty all over again, right?
First thought in my head was 50 bombs, 60 games, lock it up.
See,
this guy's here for business.
Yeah, I went 30, but you went 50.
I'll settle for 30 and 60.
It's not a bad.
That's a pretty good number.
That ain't a bad season. That's a home run like every seven at bats. I'll take it.
He, again, I said it last year. I'll say it again. The most important Philly, hands down.
I agree with you. Now, there's another thing that you just said right there, most. And this goes, so we'll talk a little baseball today. But also, this thing about Zach Ertz. We've talked a lot about Zach Ertz and trading Zach Ertz. And he's, if there's a trade for Jamal Adams, trade Zach Ertz. I feel like whenever there's a trade, trade Zach Ertz. Oh, you want to move up in the draft? Trade Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
Is Zach Ertz the most tradable commodity in Philadelphia right now? In terms of somebody that you know a team is going to get value for and you're going to get value in return. And also you think about a guy that's about to cost more money that would be on the back end of his career. Is he the most tradable asset in all of Philadelphia right now?
That's a good question.
Because
I'll have to look up some contracts.
You think about guys right now that you could obviously trade and get a haul for, but then it would just be ludicrous to trade those guys.
Right.
Zach Ertz is one guy that you can look at and go, still got good years left, still good right now, not going to cost a king's ransom, but he'll bring you something back in return that you could then hopefully use to win for a long period of time. And I think that's why when we were looking for a reason as to why so many people want to ship off Zach Ertz, it might be because of all the four major sports, he might be the most tradable asset. The most logical tradable asset that we have in Philadelphia. Is there anyone else that's more tradable? Like, hey, look, you could trade Ben Simmons, you get King's ransom for him, but that'd be ludicrous. Trade him now.
Yeah, no.
Who is the most
tradable? That's good. I got to think of that.
Who's the most tradable asset? Because I was.
And if anybody says one name, I swear to God, I'm going to put this microphone through the wall.
It's got
to
be Travis Connecting. Come get it.
Travis Connecting.
He's on a 6-year, $33 million contract.
Yeah, it's team-friendly, and he's good, so he's tradable.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Couturier's up there, too.
Coots.
Defensive player of the year, defensive forward of the year.
That's just blasphemy.
Mark, real quick, I'm a meat eater.
You watch Meat Eater?
Five episodes, brother.
You watched five episodes
yesterday.
Oh, my God. I don't even need to ask if you
watched
it.
Yeah, five episodes.
Because you love this.
I saw Meet a Deer Heart. Oh, it was, yeah. Are you kidding me?
I love it when he's like, this is the heart of the deer. I'm just going to take a bite out of it.
You wrap it in the fat of the deer, and it cooks perfectly.
I love that episode.
I did. I sat there with my mouth agape a lot.
Did Donna watch it? Did you
look? No. I was solo. Donna was out to lunch yesterday. I watched like two episodes, and then three more up in the room by myself last night.
Alone.
It did not move.
I'm telling you. Oh, this show, man. It is the most primal show out there. Well, all right. So we need a full review. No. Full review.
Your giddiness is derailing yourself. You're so happy somebody watched it.
I was like, forget about breaks. No commercials today. We'll get your full take on that. Why I miss Gabe Kapler. We'll talk about that a little bit later. 9 o'clock today, 9:05.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
You know, when you think about it, 9:05 is the perfect time for this guest. 9:05 is the perfect time for this guest, considering what his profession is. We'll talk to him later. Also, a little development in something that could treat coronavirus. So all you stoners, you want to listen to this one. We also got some more Eagles news we want to dissect, some other news about the NBA bubble. We'll get to all that and more. But when we come back, we're going to jump right into the Brett Brown comments. Are you buying it? Time at the Fanatic 623.
97.5 The Fanatic. Arsetta in the morning. Now.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, Bobby, I'm so excited. I just got a tweet from our man Kush. Meat Eater, best show they have. Great podcast as well.
Coming to Philly, too, he said, yeah.
Wait, what's this?
I don't know if they're hunting in Philly, but he said something about they're coming to Philly, Kush, didn't he?
What is he going to hunt in Philly?
No, I don't think it's hunt. Maybe they're just making it. Their crew is coming to Philadelphia
Schuylkill
in February.
River rats. I was just going to say, yeah, they're going to go for the Schuylkill trout. These are the great trout, dude, because they have those talons. It's the only trout in the world that have talons.
Maybe he's going Delco bear hunting
in the Schuylkill.
I get freaked out.
Well, you know the local dude who won the bass championship or whatever? He's from like Deptford, New Jersey. But I don't know the guy's name.
All right.
But he became famous because he won the world championship like 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he did a show.
This.
He went fishing on the Schuylkill. And he's like, yeah, I know it sounds weird, especially to people from Philly, but you can catch some decent things in here. And he did.
One of the things when I moved into the city, when I first moved into the city in 02, when I started, or 03, I believe it was, when I started going to Temple University, I remember driving by on Kelly Drive and seeing people with their rods out fishing in the Schuylkill River. And I'm like, are you going to eat that? And they would have a bucket or something, and they'd put the fish in. And I'm like, you're going to eat something out of that.
You cook.
Gross.
Yeah,
no, you cook. No, yeah. I get it now. No, I don't. But still, it's one of those things I just kind of had to get used to. But nonetheless, it's a beautiful culture. I champion everyone that does it.
But yeah, oh, what a great show.
It is a great show. But I started off by, well, first we started talking about the delicious chicken biscuits, and they are amazing. But after that, I had to shift to what has been my reality, and I think a lot of people's reality when it comes to the Sixers team. And I very much compare it to that of a kid. And I think, as sports fans, we look at our teams as our children. Like, we love them, but it doesn't mean we don't yell at them from time to time, but we still love them no matter what. And it comes, and that's, by the way, a good little tidbit about the Phillies. The Phillies fans just got recognized for something, which was awesome, that we'll get to later. But as far as the Sixers go, I feel like most people share my opinion that they're tired of potential, because we've been talking about potential really for like 5 years, 6 years with this process, 7 years even with this, the process, what could happen. And that's why we're not as patient as maybe we should be after we waited so long for guys like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. We're actually less patient because we want the payoff. People only liken the process to when Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have been playing together.
2.5 years.
And that's not, yeah, it's been a lot longer than that. It certainly feels like it because of the process years, of the 7 years we've been waiting for this team to do something other than get bounced out in the second round of the playoffs. You can't term this process a success yet. I certainly can't, because they haven't even gotten past the point that they were at when the process started. Before the process started, they got bounced out in the second round of Game 7 against the Celtics. They have only gotten to that point again, getting bounced out in the second round of the seventh game against the Raptors. They haven't exceeded that point yet. Is there greater potential? There's the word. Greater potential with this team, with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, more so than there was with, like, Andre Iguodala? Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm waiting for that moment to happen where they get past that point. I'm hoping it even happens in this playoff series that they're going to be playing, in this playoff push they're going to be put together. I think most people are with me where they're done with potential. They want to see the results. And I'm not expecting an NBA championship to come out of this. I'm not expecting it right now.
To come out of this season.
This season, okay, yes, out of 2020.
Yeah.
I am down the line. Otherwise, for me, it's going to be hard to go full-blown, oh, complete success, this team was great. But when it comes to right now, I just want to see this team take that step forward. I want all the hopes that we had for this season to come to fruition in this playoff push. That's what I want to see as the season resumes. I want to see Ben Simmons not turn the ball over as much. I don't want to see that jump pass that you've talked about so many times, Bob. I don't want to see Joel Embiid get the ball on the three-point line, dribble 20 times to get to the block, and then turn around and get credit for a post-up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I want to see. I want to see smart basketball. I want to see good coaching. I want to see these guys come out and start to really realize a lot of that potential that we've talked about so much already. I feel like most people are there. Stop with the talk. Let me see it happen.
Yeah, they are. And you know, you can say rightfully so. I mean, 2.5 years is a short test of what you expect this team to become. And I've stated it before, like, look, if you really look at the process, take away the years of building and all that, you've had 2.5 years. You have a coach that's averaged 54, if this season would have played out, that's averaging 53 wins a year, that gets to a second round of a playoff, that got bounced by the eventual NBA champion last year in a game 7 on a, I don't want to say lucky because Kawhi Leonard's one of the best players in the world, yeah, but on an unbelievably good shot that took you out.
I saw that yesterday because it was Canada Day.
Yeah, I
didn't want to, like, meme accounts had that as part of Happy Canada.
Yes, but if you just take all that stuff aside, you know, if you were to just look at a 2.5 year span and say, okay, they got this new team, look what they've done, I think people would be a lot more patient and probably a lot more optimistic than they are.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. And then you think about if things would have went a little bit more right for them. But then again, it's another if.
Yeah, sure.
Things would have went a little bit more right for them, or maybe Joel Embiid didn't have the hashtag NBA poops, right? Maybe if Ben Simmons didn't have, I believe, four combined free throw attempts in the first the four games of that series, maybe it's a different story. But again, if. Now, speaking of Ben Simmons, yesterday, that was one of the first things Brett Brown got asked about. He got asked about Ben Simmons and his health and how he looks going into this tournament. And this is what Brett Brown had to say about Ben's health.
So I think that the group should hear probably mostly now that you're going to treat Ben like you're going to treat Shake or, you know, Matisse. He's good to go. And he's put in a tremendous amount of work for me to be able to confidently say that. I think when you search for silver linings with this pandemic and the way things have shaped up, it would be hard-pressed for me to find something more obvious than this. It's enabled Ben to reclaim his health.
That's all I needed to hear as far as Ben Simmons and his health went. I would hope that it would be good to go after the layoff that we have had in the basketball world. But I thought something interesting came out of that little answer from Brett. The first name he went to was Shake Milton.
Mm-hmm.
He went, Ben Simmons.
Hey, you're going to name your starters first.
See? Yeah. Exactly. He went,
it's so
Ben?
Painfully obvious that Shake should be starting. Josh should play the three. Mm. Richardson or Tobias should play the four. Uh-huh. And Joel plays the five.
Yeah. And it's funny. I always go with Tobias Harris, and this is probably obvious, but Tobias Harris, like maybe 10 years ago, great three.
Yeah.
Today's NBA.
A little too slow.
Yeah. Great. Today's NBA, great four. Like,
yeah,
he'd be a great
he's
four
an elite four. He's a decent three.
Exactly. But that's the way the game has changed.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris is a great example of how the NBA has changed, I think. Mm-hmm. But Shake Milton being in that starting lineup, Brett Brown, and that's the first name he goes to after Ben Simmons being healthy. I think we know. I think we know the way that he's freed for all those
yes.
people that have been screaming for it for so long. It seems like you are going to have a much different look to this team. Not only Al Horford coming off the bench, but Shake Milton? Is your two guard?
He can create a shot from the outside. Not many guys on this team can do it.
His best asset, two best attributes, is that he can play well with Ben Simmons. Because
yep.
in a half-court set, he can be a guy that Ben can pass to or maybe even defer the point guard responsibilities to. And in a push, he can be a guy in a wing that if Ben Simmons dribble drives, he can kick it out to him.
Yeah.
So it's a great combination to have for Ben Simmons on the floor. I think it'll be a great matchup for those two guys to be on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, so do I. It'll take some of the things away from Ben Simmons that become redundant. And that means every time he gets the ball and they're on a fast break, he's looking to take it to the hole. And we see what teams do. They just back off and then play that wall defense. When you have other assets, that's out there. And here's the one thing that I'm really looking forward to with Shake Milton, his ability to pass the ball to Ben Simmons. Like, we talk about Simmons being able to kick to him. Ben Simmons is a really good mover without the basketball, and he's really difficult to cover because look who's covering him, either a smaller guard or a bigger guy who's not as quick a foot. So and this is something I've been calling for a lot, off-the-ball movement by the Sixers is something we don't see real well. Ben Simmons is really good at it. I mean, really, really good at it. And you might not have had the players in the lineup that could get him the ball when he's moving without it. Well, now Shake Milton is another guy that can. So I think you really have to play off that. When there is a Shake Milton handling the ball, get Ben Simmons on the opposite side of the floor, get some off the ball screens for him, weak side screens for him, and have him catch the ball going to the basket. Try stopping that. Teams have conducted themselves to stop him with the ball. We've talked about it endlessly, right, Mark? With the ball dribbling to the basket. All right, let's set up the wall. All right, what are you going to do when he doesn't have the ball and he's coming off of picks and rolling to the basket? Like hard cuts, catching the ball, one, two steps, boom. You can't design a wall when he's on the move, catching the ball and going to the basket.
Before Ben Simmons was hurt, there was a couple of games where he had Shake Milton starting with Ben at the same time. But when Ben went out and Shake really started to take off for himself,
right.
That's where a lot of people started saying, well, hold on a second. When Ben comes back, is this still going to be the because he looks like a pretty hot hand right now. But even after the shutdown, Ben or Brett still sees that as the best version of this starting five. And for all those reasons, especially the mismatch that Ben Simmons could have down low on the block. Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Let's get to Kyle in Quakertown. Kyle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Great, man.
Want to talk about JT Realmuto. Is it possible that he's underrated? I just say that because, like, he affects all the pitchers on the team. And don't you think that affects like pitchers wanting to come to Philly, having the best catcher in baseball?
I feel like that's exactly how, like, other than calling him the best catcher in baseball, I don't know how that could make a guy underrated.
Yeah, I got you.
Like, yeah, no, I don't think he's underrated. I think he's very well rated by people in Philadelphia, especially. I think we know what we have, which is why we're saying pay the man his money.
Yeah. And then I think a possibility for the most tradable asset in Philly, might not be this year, but after this year happens, if it goes how I think it will, I think it could be Scott Kingery.
That's actually a great one.
That is a good one, Kyle. Yeah. And you're also thinking contract, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And you're saying after the 60 games here?
Yeah, because he was okay last year. I just think this year he's going to take another step forward. And if he does, that remaining 4 years on his deal is going to be really tradable if some teams want him. Not that I want to trade him, but that's the whole conversation we're having.
No, I hear you, Kyle. Thanks for the call. Exactly.
That's a good name.
Yeah, it is a good name.
He's been on that chicken and a biscuit diet, too, because he looked he looked pretty swole up in the pictures we saw a couple months ago.
No, he absolutely did. I didn't see he was there yesterday, I think. I might have saw a glimpse of him.
I'm not sure.
I thought there was one picture that was out there of him. Maybe it was from...
he wasn't
from
over in FDR just hitting the fungo bat?
Just fishing. He was just lying in the water, man. He was just fishing. But, yeah, JT Realmuto, I don't think he's overrated by any means or underrated by any means. You call him the best catcher in baseball, and I think that's kind of...
That's a pretty good rating.
Well known, yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as Kingery goes, that is a very team-friendly deal, especially with so many team options. Like, the last, I think, 3 years of that deal, it could be a 9-year deal, and they're all team options.
Yeah. This could be a big year for him. I mean, abbreviated season, but he's trending in the right direction in terms of figuring it all out. Mm-hmm. So... It could be. We'll see.
You know, I don't think we can understate that him playing his natural position can only help him everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the least amount of games he's played has been at second base.
But he won't. But he won't be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, Segura will still be at second. He'll be.
Well,
at third.
I saw something today that said Segura might be at third. I read something, a local thing today.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I know before it shut down, they were talking about
Scott Lauber wrote it today.
Because he told Girardi, look, I'm good at second. I've done that. I can do that. Put me at third because I haven't played that and basically kicked the tires on me.
Segura said that,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
So that is a possibility, sure.
Okay. I hope look, I want Kingery at his natural position, just like I want everybody at their most comfortable
position.
I think it's
going to happen. From what the story I read this morning, I think it's a done deal. Segura's going to third.
Okay. All right.
I hope so. Because I wouldn't mind having him as a center field option as well occasionally.
Okay.
Because you got a lot of eggs in Haseley's basket. And I like Haseley. Mm-hmm. I think he's a solid player. But you need a backup plan also.
I just think Reese Hoskins with a mustache, he could play anywhere. Reese Hoskins, no mustache. He's a liability defensive.
I mean, Reese is probably your best option in the dream scenario for DH.
I agree. Because I think
he's a horrible fielder.
Yeah, he's not good. you can find a better option at first base. Like, JT Realmuto, I think, is already a better first base.
Yes. Like, Scott Kingery is a better first base. He's never played there.
Zach Wheeler, I've never seen him with a mitt in the field. Better option than Reese Hoskins.
I think you might find a bullpen pitcher that could play over that spot. But no, as far as that move, if that's the case, I didn't read Scott Lauber today, but that's the case. I feel better about that.
Yeah, he went in. Segura has a quote here. He says, put me a third. When he met with Joe Girardi, put me at third. I know I can play third. And then Lauber's next line is, case closed. He's there.
All right.
So, yeah. So,
I mean, I would imagine Girardi respects the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a veteran, yeah. And look, getting Scott Kingery at his natural position, my God, that takes such a load off of your mind as a young player. And here's a kid that you expected some stuff, you know, from the batter's box. You need some hits from him. You need him to do something when he's not worried about where am I going to be today. That's got to be tough. I mean, think about what I said, and I read this before. Of all the games he's played in the major leagues, among shortstop, third base, left field, and maybe some center field, second base is the least he's played, and that's his natural position.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Man, and baseball, you know it's just a routine thing. You know where you are. You know where you're going to be. That's that comfort zone that these guys need, especially during a 60-game season. If you can say to Scott Kingery, look, 55 games, you're at second base, your natural position, you're hitting 6th, 7th, 8th, whatever it is, go have at it. That's a perfect spot for him.
I've always been a big believer in that, and that's why I can't stand even like when Reese Hoskins was playing in left field. I know you just signed Carlos Santana, who didn't have a good year for the Phillies, and then went right back to Cleveland.
Well,
somehow magically had a good year.
Yeah, it's almost like the Phillies' approach to hitting wasn't great for some people.
Right.
I don't know how with Gabe Kapler doing what he does to prepare for seasons.
I mean, the Philly season was the outlier of Santana's career for the most
part. Jamie loves Carlos Santana.
Yeah, because he's a good baseball player.
No, you know what? It was funny. When you and I argued that whole year he was here, both of them, I'm saying, this guy, come on, Jamie, really? And you're like, no, he's good. You're right. You were right.
He's good.
Like, they messed him up
here. Yeah.
You're exactly right.
So much so that he went to the clubhouse and took a bat to a video game system.
And then talked about it openly afterwards.
I respected the hell out of that.
I respected him more after that was confirmed.
Yeah, I did that.
It was the most hits he had in one game.
Nonetheless, we hope the Phillies do well in this 60-game sprint that they're going to have. It is no longer a marathon. This is definitely a sprint. And some people have some question marks about that. It does make me feel better if Scott Kingery is going to be playing his natural position of second base. And Gene Segura also losing, what did he lose, like 15 pounds?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, got himself more flexible,
So maybe a little bit more nipple.
Switched from bourbon to wine. He stopped drinking a lot, he said.
Yeah.
But when he does, I think he has wine now instead of the bourbon he used to.
Talking to sommelier Joe Blanton. Somehow those two hooked up. I don't know. But so that's a great thing to hear. Now, just to get back to the Sixers here, because this will lead us into our next point, because there's a couple of different viewpoints going into the bubble. And we talked about players being safe. We talked about Stephen A. Smith's theory. Really, there's two cracks in the bubble, as they say. The one crack is the workers coming in and out, right? Mm-hmm. The people that are going to be catering to these athletes. And then the other, as Stephen A. Smith put it, was dead ass.
Speaking of crack.
Now that's actually my own quote, but it's just summing up what Stephen A. Smith had to say. Brett Brown yesterday did go into a little bit more detail about Adam Silver and the things that Adam Silver was saying about keeping everybody safe, about the dangers that are out there. So here's Brett Brown talking about Silver's comments on keeping players safe.
I've been on many calls with the league, and the other night we were all sort of on a Zoom call, and I'm blown away at the presentation that the league put out to all of us. You know, the safety obviously rules the day, and what they're trying to do to ensure people's safety is off the charts.
I hope it is. It seems like it. If you're spending $150 million to tell people to come back to work, and this is something that I think is incredible. And the NHL, man, we were just talking about them the other day, guys. The NHL deserves so much credit for really opening up so many different, I'll call it, amendments to their restarting plan. I know we kind of, at the beginning of it, we're like, oh, wow, look what all they did. And then we're like, wait a minute, they really didn't do anything except say, we're going to come back. How? Don't know. Where? Beats me. Who's going to do it? Oh, yeah, I haven't looked into that yet. Like, that's how the NHL handled it. But they left it so open-ended so they could make changes at the last minute. You think if the NBA could do what the NBA did? From all reports, the NHL was going to Vegas. And then Vegas had a spike. Nevada had a spike.
Yeah.
And they were like, thanks, but no thanks. See you in Canada.
I broke this yesterday, Mark. Justin Trudeau is a terrible person, and he's behind the anti-mask campaign so that the virus kept spreading in our country so greedy Canada could have both hub cities.
You know, and
it's as clear as day. Wake up, you sheeple.
My favorite word to come out of all is sheeple, by the way.
But it's clear. And on Canada Day, no less,
you know,
they announce
point.
It.
Good point.
Conspiracy theory, I think not.
You're right on point. I mean, it's not even a conspiracy. That's a report. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, that's a report.
Just
now.
Don't put my name to it.
Lynch
Leaks. You can add it to the updates.
Lynch Leaks. Per Jamie Lynch, screw you, Canada. But they say they leave room for error. And it was a brilliant thing by Gary Bettman and the NHL to say, well, yeah, we're going to narrow it down to these cities that we want to go to, but... You know, in this fluid situation,
one country handled it poorly, the other handled it decently.
And there they go. Off to Canada they go, north of the border. You think if the NBA could right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Sorry, Orlando.
Right.
We decided to go elsewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you look at the state of Florida in general, you look at Orlando, and you look at all the problems that they're having right now, $150 million to do what they can to try to keep these players safe. I agree, Brett Brown. They're trying to take every single precaution possible to keep the players safe because there would be no bigger black eye on this league, on sports, than restarting and then having to shut down because then you're almost acknowledging that you put these players in jeopardy. You thought you had a handle on this? Like, let's not forget how easy it's going to be to look stupid in this scenario when everything's changing the way it is. Again, fluid situation.
Yeah.
Everything's changing, and you're saying, hey, come back to work like this. Hey, come up, box this guy out. Hey, trust that player to not go out for that ass, right?
Yeah.
Trust that player next to you. Yeah, what are you, crazy? And look, we did highlight yesterday that maybe it is a good idea for the NBA to almost treat this like, oh, wait a minute, hold on, can we do this? To almost treat it like the NFL might treat their two preseason games. Can we do this? Can we keep people safe? Can we have people in the stadium to watch the game? Can we have the players as safe as possible as well? Maybe the NBA is looking at this not so much for what could happen in July, what could happen in August, September, but more so what could happen by December 1st when they really want to start up the new year. Not resume the old one, but start up the new one. That's one of the things I think the NBA is looking at right now. But man, it's gonna be real easy to look stupid. And I give a lot of credit to the NHL, who had all things all but signed to go to Vegas. And they said, Nevada, not the best place to be. And then went north of the border to Canada.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to let you hear. We're going to talk about one NBA player who has zero faith in his counterparts. Zero faith, zero optimism that his fellow NBAers can stay within the parameters of the bubble and also respect the rules of the NBA's resumption of play. And then we'll also listen to one player who says, it's actually going to be the toughest championship. Take that asterisk, shove it where the sun don't shine. First off, I don't think he had it in his Greek to English dictionary, the word asterisk, but whatever. He said, it doesn't matter. We don't need one. We'll talk about that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So you watched Meat Eater, Bob? You turned it on.
I did.
Five episodes later. Amazing.
Yeah, did two in the afternoon and three last night. Yeah.
I will say, for those that haven't seen
it, I did two in the afternoon, too.
I'm kidding, Bob.
At first, I was like, oh, wow, Jamie watched two episodes as well? No, he didn't. That's a poop joke. Anyway. So what'd you think? Five episodes. Obviously, you liked it. I will say, for the people that haven't watched it, I've never hunted ever in my life. It's not something I think I'm curious to see if I'd actually do it. But it's a very graphic hunting show. But what I like about it, and I've said this a million times, it's like 20 minutes of a hunting show and 5 minutes of a cooking show, which I like. Like, I don't like people that just go out, kill an animal, put it on their wall. Like, if you're going to hunt for food, hunt for food. That's the only reason I would hunt, if I ever had to feed my family, right?
Yeah.
Like, but he does a great job of kind of walking you through everything.
He does. The mindset of it all. You know, his motto is, I live to hunt, I hunt to live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's not like he's just going out and killing animals. Ah, look what I did.
Yeah.
It's animals that are to be hunted.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think the last one I saw last night, it was wild pigs. So, okay. Yeah, so he said, you know.
And Aviana's?
Well, he had the struggle. It was really cool. He was talking about it, and he had the struggle of, you know, are these huntable creatures, or are they...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.